Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Do you need heavy equipment or farm equipment? Look no further than Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel. We have a wide selection of new and used equipment from many top brands. We also offer parts, service, and rentals. Whether you're a contractor, farmer, or just need help around the house, we have what you need. Southern Equipment is your one-stop shop for all farm and heavy equipment. Visit us at 5237 Highway 84 West and southernequipparts.com or call 601-651-4555.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Monday, brand new week on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Happy to have you joining us from around the state of Mississippi and wherever you're listening. Luke Johnson, Kelly Center, Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancor Studios in Hattiesburg in beautiful downtown Laurel. Sam Sklar from the Hattiesburg American will be joining us the second half of the show to talk about baseball and a wrap-up of spring football. We'll get to our always great first guest to start the new week, Southern Miss baseball coach Christian Ostrander, in just a moment. First segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue, located in a community near you. Our team, just outside the Turtle Creek Mall in Hattiesburg, good friend Justin Harris and his team. Spring's in the air, beautiful weather. It's always great to get your event catered by Dickey's or just go see them in Hattiesburg. Before we get to baseball, real quick, Southern Miss Ladies Golf in the Sun Belt Conference Championship in Point Clear, Alabama. Right now, the Lady Eagles in second place. Mershay Corbichaux tied for third overall. We'll follow that tournament throughout the week. But Kelly, a brand new week on the Eagle Hour.
And beautiful sunshine and a great week for some more baseball. The Eagles return home for a midweek game tomorrow against Nichols. And then the Warhawks come to town. We'll have a little Mississippi flavor there.
Over the weekend, tough trip to Georgia. The Eagles dropped the first two games against Georgia State, but are able to rally yesterday. And here to break it down and join us, as he does every Monday, Southern Miss head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Coach Oz, you would look at the offensive numbers for the week. 8 runs, 10 hits, 8 runs, 11 hits, 14 runs, 13 hits. And normally that would amount to a win or a sweep, but not this weekend.
No, you would think that that would translate to at least a series win, but not this weekend, not quite. And, you know, it was crazy. It was an interesting first couple games. You know, difficult, tough losses, very tough on, you know, all of us, and just not giving ourselves a great chance and not being able to, you know, keep a team down. But, you know, the great thing was our guys, you know, didn't let that affect them on game three, and I was proud of that.
Let's just walk through each of the games. You get a home run from Slade Wilkes to start the first game, and then they answer back with the sixth spot. And that's just kind of how the weekend went. Tell us about game one.
Yeah, it's you know, we never got any momentum. It took 15 innings for us to get momentum or start getting momentum this past weekend, and unfortunately, in 2-7 inning shortened run rule games, you know that means you've lost two already, and you're trying to regain some momentum in game three. And we'll talk more about that. But, yeah, I think, you know, that kind of set the tone. And that was a very dangerous team that in that environment at that park with the way the park was playing. And it goes both ways. And we hit home runs too. I mean, don't get me wrong. And but they just they out-hit us in that regards. And their pitchers handled the environment better than our pitchers did.
Game one, Eagles fall 18-8, as Coach mentioned, in 7 innings. You score 5 runs in the first 2 innings of game two, Coach, but Georgia State scored in every single one of those 7 innings, and the 10-run rule effect again, 19-8 in game two.
Yep, very humiliating. Another just a tough loss, gut punch loss, the way, you know, I know we felt as coaches, the way the players felt that Saturday night going to bed and waking up Sunday. Wasn't a great feeling. And, you know, but you have to persevere and you have to move on. And, and you have to get up the next day and get out of bed and say, hey, let's go. You know, we're going to do something different.
And that's what your guys did yesterday, down 6-1 to start the fifth, and then the Eagles score in the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, come back and win 14-9, and we did see the rally yesterday from your team.
And I thought that was, you know, that was phenomenal by the guys, you know. And I told them after the game, I said, guys, after the third inning, there's a lot of folks back home that are saying, oh, here we go again, you know, the same old, and I know I'm right, and, you know, and stuff. But you know who didn't think that was those boys in that dugout. And they kept encouraging. They were encouraging all weekend. Even when we were getting our teeth kicked in on Friday and Saturday, the energy, the continued, you know, trying to ignite something, you know, it was there. These guys played hard. They, you know, they just didn't work out and stuff. And that's life, you know. And that's what I told them after the game. This was a great testament to life. You're not. It's not always going to go the way you want it to. It's not always going to be pretty. We're going to fail. We're gonna you know, get knocked down, but it's what you do after is getting back up and keep punching. And that's what this was all about. And I could be honest with you, I couldn't be more proud of these guys and what they did, because people don't realize how hard that was to do what they did yesterday. After two tough losses, getting down that 6-1 in three innings, and the resiliency they showed and the backbone they showed, I was an extremely proud coach.
Kelly, you got to tip your hat to Georgia State in the first two games with their batting approach.
They were certainly doing something right. They knew that ballpark, and, of course, they're going to be in a new ballpark in two or three years, like not a little league field, but you know, a regular college field where they might have to change some of the guys that they're recruiting. But Coach, I want to talk a little bit about Cross Civilly. You know, he struggled as a starter, albeit just a little, at the beginning of the year. You moved him to a long reliever, kind of a bridge guy. But he's been the most consistent pitcher, I would think, as an outsider looking in the past 2 weeks. You like him where he is, or could he be seeing a move to a potential starting position?
You know, we'll see. I like where he's at. I like what he's doing. I always, and I will until the day I'm done coaching, believe in, you know, on the mound, you want to get stronger as you go if you can. What I mean, you know, if you can, obviously you want to have great starts, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you would love to feel like you have something, you have weapons to go to at the end. And if we took him out of the bullpen, then clearly with some of the issues we've been going through this year and with some injuries and stuff, some guys out, we would be, you know, we'd be weakening that bullpen, you know, but who knows? I mean, I think, you know, we got five series left, and we need to win as many games as we can in those. And, you know, I'm not saying you won't see some things different coming up.
But one of the things the guys seemed maybe on the mound that's just a little bit rattled. It is a young team. People sometimes forget that your pitching staff is as young as any part of the team. Just a little bit rattled. But look, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And what your pitching staff did in those first two games, it's just not like them. So I'm not worried about it.
No, and I told afterwards, that's the exact message I shared with the pitching staff. Guys, I know you're better than that. You know, hey, I am the one that was calling the pitches. So maybe I forgot how to call pitches. I don't think so. You know, I don't think y'all forgot how to throw strikes. I don't think y'all forgot how to execute. I said he ran into a buzzsaw and just some things lined up that just we didn't have an answer for. Momentum's a real thing. And that was a dangerous offensive team in that environment. You kept giving them some momentum and you never could stop it. And it was tough, and it took Cross Civilly to stop it.
But maybe unlike any other team, or as much as any other team in the Sun Belt, this Georgia State team is built for that ballpark and that environment.
100%. There's no doubt about it. And like I said, their coach told me that. He said, "Coach, we recruit physical guys, and we want them to hit it in the air." And it just, you know, if that wind's playing differently, who knows, man? I mean, but it goes both ways because we hit home runs too, and. You know, so it is what it is. You know, we got our teeth kicked in. We got beat. You know, as much as we want to go undefeated the rest of the way or have an undefeated season, you know, it's not baseball. It's not life. You know, you got to handle these adversities, and our guys did, and that's what I'm proud of.
Luke, anybody that's played sports at a high level knows, as I think it was John Lennon maybe that said, "Mama said there'd be days like these." It happens, man. And there's nothing you could have played all day long, I think, Friday and Saturday, and it was just Georgia State's days, you know, Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, because, Coach, you know, you got eight innings. This is the stat I told you off air that I didn't want you to throw up on air. But, I mean, you get eight innings out of all three starting pitchers. They give up 24 earned runs. The strikeout to walk was 11-8. But it's just we've never seen Billy Oldham get hit like that. I think he had like one rough start last year. And I was like, okay, Nico struggled the last couple series. But Billy gets hit like that. It's just, you know, there's something in the wind, literally.
Yeah. It was frustrating. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I've been doing this a long time too, and I've been a part of a few weekends like these at other places. I can remember at New Mexico State about 21 years ago when I was at Arkansas State. There was a weekend like this. I can remember when I was at Delta State, we had a weekend like this. You know, Jerry McLean, our athletic director, was on that team. He could tell you about it. And you know, so it's part of it, and it's not, you know, the thing that people need to realize too and understand, and is these guys are trying real hard, man. You know, they're competing their tails off, and you know, they can't it's not always going to come out in their favor and stuff, but the fact that they never quit, they kept competing, and that's all that I can ask for. Because I can tolerate losing, I hate it, but I can't tolerate quitting. And these guys know that, and they're not going to do that. I was very proud
absolutely
of them.
We're visiting with Southern Miss head baseball coach Christian Ostrander, graciously giving us his time as he does every Monday. We'll step aside, but if you want something sweet this week, Mobe Beignet is a great place to go on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Kelly, got to have some kind of spring syrup and dipping sauces there.
I don't know. I down them so fast, I don't really even get what the flavor is. So,
go see our good friends at Mobe. They're proud sponsors of the Eagle Hour. We'll step aside and continue to visit with Coach Oz after these commercial messages.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Campus Bookmark, located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. The place to go for all the Golden Eagle fans in your life, including yourself. CampusBookmark.net, Campus Bookmark on Hardy Street. Luke, Kelly, and Michael. Bob's out this week. He'll be back next week, but we are live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And, Laurel, we continue with Southern Miss head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. And, Oz, you know this. We have different types of fans. They all love the Golden Eagles. Some of them understand the game, and this was one of those. I wanted to ask this question about what metrics do you, and I'm sure they're moving in real time based off situations, but, like, which metrics go through your mind in determining – like which pitcher to use, when you go to the pen. Sometimes you let guys ride. Sometimes it's a short leash. What all goes into that?
Just, you know, your gut, your past history, what you expect, you know, and then, you know, what guys, some guys can handle the traffic better than others. Some guys need clean innings. The amount of pitches, you know, just so many things. You know, I'm not saying there's ever a right or wrong answer. I mean, there's multiple answers. You know, you hope you choose the right one. And, so you make those decisions based on, you know, stuff like that. And also the score, like the other night, I mean, you know, once it got kind of out of hand and stuff, I said, it was a great time to get some of these guys that haven't had opportunities, out there and stuff like that. So, you got leverage guys and you got, you know, guys that might not be called leverage guys, and you just got to use them accordingly.
Want to get some positives on offense, because it was a really good offensive weekend. I thought Russo had a good weekend. Gillespie now batting over 300, and, you know, Pratt led off yesterday. And there were, amidst the run totals, there were some very, very, very positive offensive standouts for the weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, it was, you know, it was, our hitters liked hitting there too, I promise you. And, you know, they were, there's a confidence. There's a confidence level, man, when you know that if you can just hit the ball well in this park, you know, you got a shot. So, you know, I don't know. I think our guys did a great job. They had some good arms that I thought we had to battle with, and especially yesterday, getting through that lefty and then getting their really some of their best bullets out of the bullpen statistically. And, man, our guys did a great job. You know, they just they didn't quit. They kept punching, kept fighting. And offense was they did their part all weekend. We just couldn't match it on the mound.
Coach, you talked about some of the younger pitchers who you've been getting into the game, getting them some action, and letting them prove themselves. Generally speaking, are they as a group?
Yeah, I think I'm seeing some growth. I do. Are they ready to go throw six shutout innings for me next time? Probably not. But, you know, being able to get out there and just grow and just get some and be guys that can help us shorten the game a little bit, you know, be able to feel comfortable putting them in to get three outs or six outs or whatever it is. So, yeah, I think there is. I think there's some that has definitely grown. I think there's some that has really fallen back too. And, you know, that's on them. And, you know, their job is to go out there and perform and compete and show consistency.
Have they improved more physically, or have they improved, and speaking generally, of course, have they improved more physically or more mentally?
I think it's always mental. I think, you know, the physical gets better when you're mentally engaged, right? And, you know, I think the problem with new and young is them getting over the hurdle of just being sped up, you know, just slow the game down, you know. And you do that mentally, you know, and you have confidence. And once you do that, then it gets a little bit easier. And but if you're not in control of that mind and you're trying to compete in this level, good luck. You know, it's just not going to go your way. And, you know, and I thought that was a characteristic of some of our veteran pitchers this weekend. Our starters, you know, they got frustrated. I saw it. And, you know, you got to fight through that, man. You got to focus on one pitch at a time. So a lot of building blocks, a lot of, you know, things that we can, you know, coaching points to talk about with them.
So the Colonels come to town tomorrow night. Nichols, of course, a really good team last season. And then you've got the Warhawks coming in this weekend for continued Sun Belt play. Just overall, some things that you want to clean up before tomorrow and the weekend?
Well, I mean, I think there's some obvious ones, but, you know, tomorrow's a new day, you know, and I look forward to watching the guys that go out there and compete on the mound. I know they're going to go compete, and, you know, I don't question that, and really excited about getting back in our home park. Man, you know, we know how special it is, but, you know, the last two weekends on the road and so forth, and especially this past weekend, it makes you really appreciate. I know our guys, you know, when I said it yesterday after the game was over, I said, man, let's get back to the Pete. Let's play some, you know, Southern Miss baseball. And they were all like, heck yeah, let's get me home, you know. And, you know, so that's special. So I look forward to that and this weekend, a home series against ULM, good opponent. They're doing a great job this year. Coach Fed, who's, you know, familiar with this area, a great dude. You know, he's done a great job. They got a good team. And I know we're going to have to go play well and, you know, to win. So, you know, we just every game's tough, man. You got to go play well.
Luke, I think the only people more happy about the Eagles returning home other than the players would be the fans.
Yeah, ready to watch the Eagles play again and get that opportunity. Coach, it does seem that scoring and home runs, we mentioned it was a unique weekend, 25 home runs hit between the two teams. But nationwide, does it seem to you that maybe some of the scoring and home run numbers are going back up a little bit, not to Gorilla Ball days, but they are increasing? Is there a reason for that?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of talk out there in this industry about, you know, the strike zones and are tighter and the walks are up. And I think they are. I really do. I'm not saying they're doing a bad job. I haven't been thrown out yet. I mean, so if it was that bad, I would have. But, you know, it's if they're calling it both ways, you take it. That's their zone, okay? But I think there's more characteristics. At least all the, you know, colleagues out there that I know and I talk to a good bit, they say it. Man, it's like, it's unbelievable. You know, how many walks are up? Well, if that's the case, if the zone's a little bit smaller, you're going to be more hitter advantage counts and stuff, which means you can get an aggressive swing off. You know, without, you know, less fear, you know, having to worry about an off-speed pitch. So I think they go hand in hand.
I'm glad you brought that up, Coach, because that's one of the very few pet peeves I have about the game that I love, baseball, is that people don't, just like basketball fans, don't pay to watch teams shoot free throws. I would assert that fans do not come to watch a walk fest. You know, it's ridiculous how tight strikes are. And that's not even the strike zone that's written in the rule book. You know, that went out the window a long time ago. Why can't we loosen things up a little bit and make the hitters put the ball in play?
Technology has paralyzed some of these umpires because now they're getting graded on a box, a computerized digital box with radar or whatever, TrackMan and stuff. And, you know, the box can change a little bit depending on the height, of a player, and you know, and this and that, and so I just think it has. I think it's gotten a little bit more gun shy to, you know, to pull that string on close called strikes. They're balls. They're calling them balls. So I think that's it.
Well, everybody but Angel Hernandez gets graded because I keep watching what he does in the pros. Coach, six teams are better above 500. Two more teams right there at 7 and 8. You're in a log jam with Coastal Troy, Georgia Southern, and Georgia State at 9 and 6. Louisiana's 14 and 1. They're about to have some tough weekends, but I mean this conference right now rated fourth in the RPI. I mean it is a gauntlet this year.
There's no doubt. I don't think there's any, after seeing what I've seen, you know, with quote unquote non-traditional powerhouses in it. Let me tell you what, if you don't play good game, they'll beat you, you know. And ton of respect for Georgia State and what they did. They have good players. They had an identity, you know, at their place. That's a dangerous club, and I'm not saying they're not elsewhere too. But you know, Georgia Southern at their place, that was a solid team. They all are. I mean, good grief, there hadn't been one game that we played just felt like we just show up and you know chip it in and we're good. And you know, you had to go, you had to get after it. So it's a great league for sure.
Kelly.
Well, the Eagles, again, to reiterate, play the Colonels of Nichols tomorrow night, and then a weekend series with Louisiana Monroe. And nobody knows Southern Miss probably as much as Coach Fed does, huh, Coach Oz?
No doubt. It's going to be familiar ground to him. And, you know, it's trying to think last time they were here. But unbelievable human being. And, you know, I know he's going to have them ready to play. And we look forward to it. Hopefully the weather's beautiful and we have great crowds and, you know, good baseball.
His son is turning out to be quite a stud, isn't he?
He can play. That dude can play. Yeah, he's committed to Ole Miss and you know, Hayden, he's a fine player, man. It's been fun watching him, you know, through these years mature into what he is now, and I know his mom and dad are real proud of him, and not just the player he is, but the young man he is.
Coach, about 30 seconds left, 22 and 14. Your word this week to the Golden Eagle faithful?
Just stay with them. You know, stay with these guys. I know, you know, the expectations are super high with them, and just, you know, these guys are – I assure you that they're out there competing. They want to win. They want to win real bad, and they're doing everything they can, and we are, and stuff. It's just, you know, some things that you learn as you go, and but just come out and support them because it means the world to them, and it helps them, and helps them play better, and we appreciate all the support we get.
Oz, thanks for your time every Monday, and go get them this week.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
It's head coach Christian Ostrander of Southern Miss Baseball joining us as he does every Monday. We'll step aside, come back to the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Sam Sklar from the Hattiesburg American joining us the second half of the show. Eagle Hour continues on a Monday.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where Booty will have some great trivia questions for you on Wednesday night. And, of course, they've got their boot plate special Monday through Friday, $10.95 now. It includes a soft drink of your choice. And everybody knows your name there, kind of like the old TV show Cheers. Whether it's before or after the game, you can do your pre-gaming or post-gaming at 4th Street Bar and Grill right over the Highway 49 Bridge within a shadow of the Rock. 4th Street Bar and Grill. We thank them for their continued support. Joining us now in the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg is Sam Sklar. He's a native of the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. That's way up there in Minnesota. And since September, he has been the beat writer for covering Southern Miss for the Hattiesburg American. And Sam, we welcome you, and you have not yet experienced a welcoming Mississippi summer, which is still to come, right?
I have not. I've heard about it. When I got here, the first week was the Florida State week, and everyone told me that was right when it started to kind of cool down. And so I think that was perfect timing. But I was in South Florida for a summer internship, and it was very hot there last summer.
And you're a Michigan State grad, so go Sparty, I guess, if you're up in that neck of the woods. But tell me how it's been adjusting to a program that maybe you didn't know a whole lot about, and how you get your footing as a journalist in those type of situations.
Yeah, it was a little challenging, not going to lie, at first, just because, you know, I started right in the middle of the football season, and so a lot of what I was just having to do at first was just you know, learning as I'm going a little bit. You know, I knew a few weeks before, obviously, I started that I was going to be here, and that allowed me some time to do a lot of research and get up to speed on things. But I really didn't know a ton about Southern Miss before coming here. But, you know, I had to do a lot of it on the fly, at least even just like meeting people or just, you know, knowing how everything works around here. But it's been great, and I'm loving it. You know, I think the people here in Hattiesburg and in Southern Miss are super nice and super welcoming. And I'd never been to Mississippi before moving here, so I wasn't really sure what to expect. But it's all been great. And, you know, the Southern Miss, you know, athletics administration people do a great job of, you know, creating opportunities for the media members, I think. You know, I've back at Michigan State or just other programs that I've worked around, they run a lot tighter of a ship where, you know, they just guard a lot of different things, or, you know, don't have as many opportunities.
It's just the Southern way. We just take it a little bit slower.
Yeah, right? And so I like that. It's been a lot of fun.
You know, a lot of people from the North who don't understand that football is kind of a religion in the Deep South, but I would argue that people in your particular home state of Minnesota do understand religion, because hockey is religion in Minnesota where football is here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I turned off the Masters for a little bit yesterday to watch the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche in the third period in overtime yesterday. So, you know, I covered the Michigan State hockey team for 3 years, and so that was really kind of how I got my footing in the industry. And I never actually played hockey, and I can barely skate, but I love watching it. I grew up a big Minnesota Wild fan, and you know, they tend to always make the playoffs and then lose in the first round. But
boy, Luke Johnson, a Minnesota kid who admits that he can't skate and didn't play hockey, I'm surprised he's not in therapy over this.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever turned off the Masters to watch hockey.
Right.
I think it stayed on for 5 or 6 hours yesterday. But Sam, coming in, you came in right at the beginning of football season, and being around Southern Miss culture, now going into baseball season, as you were doing your preseason research, you are now covering, you know, a top 20 program in attendance the last several years, finished ninth nationally. And what's been your taste of Deep South, big-time NCAA D1 baseball?
Yeah, that's been awesome, really. You know, the whole fall and winter kind of leading up to the season, everyone was kind of just saying, oh, just wait for baseball season, you know. It's just awesome around here. And I was like, okay. Because, you know, in Minnesota and Michigan and, you know, just kind of Big Ten country, baseball and particularly college baseball is really not followed that closely, you know, because they've got hockey and just other stuff going on. And so I never really even followed college baseball super closely growing up. But just being able to kind of embrace that here and kind of see just how passionate the fan base is about it has been really cool. You know, I had never been to as big of a college baseball game or had that many fans as in my life that I've seen at Pete Taylor Park. You know, just to see how engaged they are, and people just, you know, walking down the street, they just know a lot about Southern Miss baseball. And, you know, I think that, you know, back home at Michigan State, not many people would know much about Michigan State baseball. And so, you know, it's been really cool to just see, you know, I think it's been an interesting time too with, you know, Christian Ostrander coming in his first year as a coach. And obviously there's a lot of high expectations for this program, and, you know, had a tough weekend this weekend, but, I think they're still on the right track, and seems still like a tournament team to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, what's your – I expand on that a little bit because we all can be homers, and just because we live here and this is our team and somebody that's covering it, what has been your on-the-field observations of the Golden Eagles through 36 games?
I think they're still a good team. I mean, I think that it's tough to kind of say that sometimes coming off the weekend that they had and, you know, getting run ruled on consecutive games is obviously not a good thing at all. But I think they still got a good team. I think that, you know, starting pitching is something that needs to be addressed a little bit. You know, Mazza was phenomenal for the beginning of the season, but once conference play started, I think his ERA is above 10 right now in conference play, which obviously can't work. I think Billy Oldham's been, you know, he's been the most consistent. You know, obviously got roughed up on Saturday, but before that, I mean, he was just really solid, giving you, you know, pretty much the same thing every game. He'd give you 5-6 innings, you know, maybe 2 earned runs or something like that, and give you a competitive start. And so I think they're still on the right track. I think that the schedule has been a little tough, and I think that it's going to get a little bit easier coming up here in the last month of the season. I know they got to play at Louisiana, which they've been on a roll this season.
And they've
season.
Got a home series against – it's a home series, but it's against Coastal.
Mm-hmm. But to that, if you go and look, because it was sent to me today, and you break down Louisiana's record a little bit, you know, like 16 of their 28 wins are against quad four teams. So okay. I think they're about to come back down. But Kelly, as we visit with Sam Sklar, the Hattiesburg American from Minnesota, two Golden Eagles with the Twins now, Matt Wallner, Tanner Hall. Good stuff.
That's right.
And Josh Ock, you know, who's on the team. He's a Minnesota kid.
That's right. He is.
So how special is that, though, going to Wallner? I mean, it doesn't happen like that very much, that obviously a kid from Minnesota plays baseball in Mississippi, but he goes back, he gets drafted really high by his team growing up, and now he's playing for them. I mean, that's got to be a big deal for any time that takes place inside a state like Minnesota or anywhere.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably the dream, right? And, you know, I think he hit a home run this weekend.
Yeah, he walked off my Tigers, as a matter of fact.
That's right. But, no, it's got to be cool to see. And eventually probably Tanner Hall will get up there at some point too and hopefully make an impact for the Twins. And, you know, maybe that pipeline will continue with some more players. We'll see.
So, Sam, you've eaten crawfish now.
Yes.
Have you said fixin' too yet?
No, I'm not. I don't know that one.
Okay.
Are you about to do something? Are you going to do something? Have you done something? Are you fixing to do something? And then it's just same way with like, Sam, have you eaten your lunch yet? Have you eaten yet? You eat yet? Jeet.
Right.
That's the way that it works.
Minnesota, you end that with, have you eaten yet or no? That's how everything's or no. Are you going to go to the store or no?
Well, you know, remember the movie Fargo that came out? The big phrase was, you betcha. Well, they say that in Minnesota a lot, too. You know,
you betcha.
North Dakota's right next door. So,
yes.
Anyway.
If you think y'all is interesting, there are people in Appalachia that say you-ins. So I would take y'all any day of the week.
Hey, Sam, if you get into a situation where you have to report, not, this isn't necessarily about Southern Miss, but as a journalist, when you have to report what most people would deem to be negative news about a particular person who you're fond of personally, how do you handle that?
Well, it's just kind of part of the job. And, you know, some of the best advice I ever got, his name is Michael Russo. He covers the Minnesota Wild for The Athletic, and he was a big mentor for me, you know, growing up and as, you know, through starting high school throughout college. And, you know, he is a hardcore reporter. You know, he's super well sourced and breaks almost everything Minnesota Wild related. And one of the best pieces of advice that I've gotten from him that has stuck with me is just about when you have to do those moments where you have to report negative things, you know, because it's part of the job, is you better be there the next day, showing up at practice or showing up at the game or the press conference and just being present. And, you know, because that's how you get respect from a lot of people. And so I think that eventually, you know, people realize you have a job and it's to be talking about the truth and reporting the truth, and that's just what it is.
In our final segment of the Eagle Hour, Sam's going to talk, give us his take of what he took out of spring training for the football team as they have now concluded drills. Luke will get us up to date on how the other Sun Belt teams did in baseball and where the standings are. But boy, if you're a Louisiana Raging Cajun fan, you're riding high both in baseball and softball. We'll sort all that out after we... after these commercial messages. This is the Eagle Hour on Super Talk Mississippi.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on a Monday from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, and Laurel, Luke Johnson, Kelly Center, Michael Mergens, Sam Sklar from the Hattiesburg American continues to join us. If you missed our interview with Christian Ostrander, Coach Oz, in the first half of the show, it'll be available in podcast form. Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Audible, or you can listen to the Super Talk Eagle Hour on demand later today at supertalk.fm. Softball gets a big sweep as they take care of Georgia State at home over the weekend. Lady Eagles outscore the Lady Panthers 13-1, 6-0 on Friday, 3-0 on Saturday, and 4-1 yesterday. They will improve to 500 overall, 20-20, getting the winning column in conference 8-7. But Kelly, the Lady Raging Cajuns are coming up down there this weekend.
Yeah, well, let's just enjoy it while we can, right? Because actually, the top two teams in the league, Louisiana and Texas State, are the next two opponents for the Lady Eagles. So, hey, but clearly, they're getting better. They're better than they were last year, that's for sure.
Beach volleyball goes 1-2 at the UAB Beach Bash over in Birmingham, defeating Mercer and falling to North Alabama and UAB. Over the weekend in the Sun Belt baseball, Troy takes 2 out of 3 on the road at App State. Old Dominion defends their home turf, takes 2 out of 3 against James Madison. Louisiana sweeps Marshall in the Bayou. ULM in Monroe takes 2 of 3 from Texas State. South Al takes 2 of 3 from Arkansas State in Mobile. And Coastal takes 2 out of 3 from Georgia Southern in Statesboro. All right, Sam Sklar joins us now. And Sam, let's talk some spring football. Appreciate you hanging around for this last segment. Billy Wiles hits the transfer portal. That was the big news coming out of spring practice. We figured, Will kind of hinted at that one of those guys would leave. But what's your thoughts now that it's a three-man competition?
Yeah, I kind of had a feeling, I think, that, you know, once spring football started, that maybe one of them would end up just transferring just because of, you know, lack of opportunities. You know, obviously only one of them can win the job. And it does seem like Southern Miss has four pretty, you know, viable options at quarterback, or at least now three. And just kind of got the sense this week that Billy was probably going to be the one entering the portal. You know, in the spring game, it was pretty even in terms of just who was playing, you know, getting reps and, you know, who was doing well, who wasn't. But it was interesting when Will Hall on Tuesday, I believe, at his press conference, when he was asked about, you know, just revisiting the spring game and what he, you know, saw after watching the tape and everything. And he talked about the quarterbacks and he mentioned three of them, but he didn't mention anything about Billy Wiles. So that was kind of the first, you know, moment in my head. I was like, okay. And then, you know, just kind of throughout the week, he wasn't really participating as much as he normally would. And so that's when I kind of just got a feeling that was going to happen.
All right. Well, speaking about feelings, who rolling the dice, who do you think's the QB1 going into fall drills?
I don't have a good idea, honestly. I think that, and I don't think that Will Hall probably has an idea yet of who it's going to be. You know, I've wondered also if they're just going to be, you know, say Tate Roadmaker wins it. But obviously Ethan Crawford has, you know, a skill set of a runner and you know, can do, you know, special packages like we saw at certain points in the season last year. So, like, I wonder if that maybe happens where it's a little bit of both. But I honestly don't have a good sense right now of who it could be.
Luke, maybe an unfair question because you just watched him for 1 year in the Will Hall era, but anything stand out to you about the play calling in the spring? I know probably Chip's holding cards closer to the chest, but, I mean, did you see anything that really stood out?
Well, it's going to be a lot more screen passing. That's definitely one that's been a takeaway is, you know, getting throwing short yardage and getting the ball in the hands of playmakers. You know, guys like Ty Mims, obviously, is a big one. And also just getting tight ends more involved because I think that, at least especially last year, the tight ends really didn't do a whole lot, you know, catching the balls a lot. And so I think they've got a lot of options this year at tight end. With you know, they brought in Kieran Heath from Ole Miss. They got Teron Bedford from the JUCO, and then Justin Reed, who was a freshman last year, played a little bit, and he's back as a sophomore. And so I think we'll see a lot more tight end involvement, and then also just some screen passes, which should be interesting because I think sometimes people will get, you know, you can get tired of that. You know, fans like to see people throw it down the field and stuff, but hey, it might work. I don't know.
Kelly.
Well, I was going to ask you, Luke, on the Tate Rodemaker deal coming over from Florida State. I mean, is it realistic that any coach, just forget that it's, you know, but that any coach would say, yeah, you're the guy, you're going to have probably the best shot to be my quarterback? I can't imagine any coach saying that, would you?
Well, I mean, there's different reasons why people come to play. I mean, you have to think that Rodemaker got interest, especially, you know, what he did at Florida.
Right.
Being a four-year, being Jordan Travis's backup and being in that. And so, you know, was it the NIL that got him here? He told me in the interview that we played last week that it was Hall and Long jumping on him early as soon as he hit the portal. So you got to think there's a lot of motivations there. But, hey, if you're a Southern Miss person and if you're Will Hall, you want the best guy out there.
Now, it'll be fun. That's for sure.
Sam, thanks for your time, man. Thanks for joining us. Come back anytime.
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller. Happy to be here. Thanks.
You're gonna get to say these three words with Kelly here in just a minute. But that's going to wrap it up for the Super Talk Eagle Hour on a Monday. Daniel Stewart will join us tomorrow, as he always does. And we'll have some good guests throughout the week as Southern Miss takes on Nichols tomorrow. Looks forward to ULM this weekend. We'll catch you tomorrow. And as always, here it is, Sam. Southern Miss!
To the top. Come on. To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.